You have had enough of the modern world. You draw the line at teachers trying to persuade young boys to cut their testicles off. You are not going to allow them to install a microchip into your brain so you can upload your consciousness into Reddit. You are not going to listen to another politician flying in a private plane try convince you that you need to eat soy and bugs to save the planet. You do not align with this secular society. It is evil, it is upside down, and it is corrupt. And of course, you listen to people like Jordan Peterson, and they convince you that the reason why this terrible botched society has happened is because we moved away from our traditional Christian values. And if we had those in place, everything would be okay. But there are people who do not want us to return. There is a woke movement that wants to take control of our morality and make it wholly anti-Christian. Jordan Peterson tells us that they have swarmed into all of the institutions and are trying to have a whack at another communist revolution. Now, this may give birth to boomer consciousness within you. You will use your online social media to constantly make fun of woke snowflakes. Or it might give birth to something even more profound. You might think boomerism is half-assed. What you actually want is real Christianity. We want to go back to the absolute source. Christ is not some Jungian symbol. He's not some archetype. He is the real deal. He is the man who never died. He is God incarnate and the only instance of this in the entire world. And the only way to defeat this neo-communist woke revolution, which is the Antichrist regime, is to go fully into Christianity. But what if I told you that Christianity was part of the problem? That the spirit of Christianity is the same spirit that drove the communist revolution and is driving the woke movement? Would you believe me? Or would you say I've been reading too much of that German incel Friedrich Nietzsche? That's a fair enough accusation. But what interests me is Nietzsche's accusation against Christianity. Nietzsche says that Christianity was the woke movement for the Roman Empire. And Western civilization will not have a future unless we finally defeat this spirit by realizing what it actually is. Now, you're not going to believe me saying something like this. So what I'm going to do is show you what it would have been like to witness the takeover of Rome by Christianity from the perspective of a Roman pagan. So let's switch your imagination on and bring you back thousands of years to the days of ancient Rome, where you are a conservative, traditionalist, Roman pagan. You are of Roman stock, you are of Roman blood, and you are proud of it. You see, your ancestors fought in the legions beside Julius Caesar, and you won for yourself much territory and wealth and land, and so the family has quite a nice couple of acreage farm in the outskirts of the Roman city. It's very, very fantastic. Now, you're nothing special. You're not like an aristocrat, or you're not like, you know, a political guy or anything like this. You're just a humble farmer. And you live a simple life. You live a happy life. You know, you wear your bed sheet as clothes. You walk around all day eating grapes. You're maybe not as happy as the modern Italians because you haven't invented pasta or pizza or espressos or gelatos. That stuff will come later. So you're maybe 90% of the way there. You're quite happy. And you live your simple life in your farming community. And you don't really bother with the city too much because it's full of soy boys. You know, the prototype of the soy boys were there and waiting for you. Now, you'd go into the city sometimes. You know, the thing that you absolutely love, you've always loved it since you were a kid, is going in to see the gladiator fights. This is like the UFC for you, you know. And you're going to go in and you're going to watch these great heroes, these great slaves win their freedom. You're going to watch incredible things go on. It's an awful lot of fun to do this. Now, of course, as you've gotten older, you've learned that the empire is not in the best state it's ever been. And this is sort of like a bit of a ruckus. This is bread and circuses that the emperor puts up to keep people distracted. Look, you don't understand that. You understand that. But you still love it. You still see it as a lot of fun. So you go into these all the time, every time they show up. Now, over the years of your life, you've noticed that as you go in these gladiator events and you see the city of Rome, you notice that the city of Rome is changing dramatically, very, very quickly in front of your eyes. It's not the same Rome that you remember when you were a kid. It's definitely not the same Rome that you've heard about from your grandfather or in the storybooks. Something is going on in Rome. It is changing in a profound way. Year after year, as you go into these games, you notice more and more new faces. You see blonde, brutish Gauls with their weird, stupid mustaches, probably already in history trying to sell you frog's legs. There's Judeans in the corner holding their magic book, Benedus Shapirus being like, Jupiter's a tyrant, I'll believe Judeo-Christianity. The Carthaginians, I thought you crushed the Carthaginians. I thought you got rid of these Carthaginians. These Africans talking to you about Wakanda or something like that. Is that what they're doing? They're still around. I thought you salted their earth, but there's Carthaginians everywhere. There's Egyptians. They're bowing down every time they see a cat in the street. They start bowing down, being like, oh, wow, it's amazing. There's fucking brutish Germans. I'm surprised they even know what civilization is. They're probably like touching walls, being like, is this a weird looking tree? What's going on here? This is a strange tree. Or no, they're probably barking at it. They're probably shouting at it in their like, you know, dog-like language or something like this. But the one thing you notice about all of these is that they're not Roman. These are the people that the Romans conquered. What the hell are they doing in Rome? And you talk to your friends about this, and everybody is aware that it's happening, and they sort of know why it has happened. Because when you expand and become so successful, you don't really want to do menial jobs anymore. You don't want to clean toilets. You don't want to sweep streets. You want other people to do this. And when you have an empire as large as the Romans, that means you have access to many, many slaves. And so what all the upper classes do, and even the upper middle classes do, is they start to harvest in all these people from the outskirts of the conquered areas of the empire. And they bring them into Rome to work as their labor caste beneath the Roman elite. But of course, these people begin to outnumber the Romans. And of course, they begin to change the nature of Rome itself. Now, the most dangerous part of all this is that these slaves do not respect the Roman gods. And they claim that they have their own god. They have their Christianity, which is so much superior and true than our Roman religion. And of course, this is delusional, first of all. It is pure superstition. It is made-up atheism. It is nonsense. They obviously got conquered by the power of Jupiter. They obviously got conquered by our superior vital energy given to us by our Lord. They obviously have the wrong God, or else they wouldn't have been conquered. But against all of reality, against all of life, they make up some story that allows them to be special. Because that's the type of neurosis that a slave would have to think. A slave is not special. A slave is inferior. A slave is a loser. And instead of being able to digest the fact that they lost, they have to invent some delusion in order to allow them to escape out of it. Oh, the Romans were possessed by a demon or something like this. All this crazy made up stuff. Now, we're used to slaves and immigrants and foreigners and women having delusions like this. Anything weird and strange is going to end up in Rome and people are going to follow it in the end. But this Christianity is particularly bad. This Christianity is perfectly suited to the tragic life of a slave. It doesn't require any power or standards or competence or discipline. It doesn't require any of that stuff. In fact, the more failed you are, the more it is for you. The more they try to lift your spirit and say that you are special. And it spends all of its time demoralizing us that are in command, us that are noble, us that are powerful, us that are normal. Everything that we represent, such as strength and might and competence, it says is evil, is not in favor with their god that they have made up. It is the perfect catalyst for a huge population of people with no identity who've been ripped out of their homelands and thrown into a melting pot to be exploited as slaves. So the only criteria to be accepted into this Christianity is that you are not Roman. You do not possess Roman privilege. Any Roman virtue that you have, such as bravery, means that you're a menace, means that you are evil. But as long as you are failed, as long as you are weak, as long as you are a slave who cannot access Roman virtue, you are chosen, you are good, you are in the eyes of the Lord. And they constantly spend their time shaming us. They are not violent, they don't come out with their hands. It's not a very masculine way of conducting yourselves. Instead, they operate through feminine means. They try to establish guilt inside of our heads. They accuse us of the historical grievances of colonizing their lands in the past. They slander us for our Roman privilege and demand that we alleviate it and bow at the feet of their compassion. They walk in our streets and demand us to admit that Judean lives matter. They say that we and our authorities murdered Jesus, their God, their angel, the man without sin, so they say, got murdered in the street brutally by our legions. And of course, all these slaves claim that what needs to happen is that we need to give the Roman state to their Christianity and allow them to worship the real God, in which case they will install a utopia on earth. The kingdom of heaven will come down. This is what they say. God will just plop a new Rome on top of the old Rome, and it will be free from the suffering and the tyranny of Roman instincts and Roman virtues. It will free us from all the pain and suffering of the world. We will have this revolution that will transform the very nature of reality, and all pain and suffering will go away forever. How beautiful that these impoverished bums know how to run the state correctly. How surprising. But of course, just because it's stupid does not mean there's not enough stupid people to fuel its fire. Oh yes, of course, these Christians, they are woke. They believe that they are above the natural world and they want to bring us into this new ideal society, this utopia that they're talking about. But you see, when you begin to investigate, you start to look into their souls. You begin to see what they actually are. Because it's pretty easy to say beautiful ideas, to lie. But when you actually inspect people's intentions, you see what's really going on underneath the surface. And these people don't care about a utopia. They don't care about heaven. They care about it insofar as it sounds beautiful, that it's persuasive to the dumb, unwashed, illiterate mob. But their actual motivations are much more ugly. They want power and vengeance. And we know this because we read their manuscripts. Tellurian, the resentful Carthaginian, who we conquered all those years ago, sits around and boasts about how Christianity is dominating Rome. He, of course, is an ardent Christian. Anything that's not Roman is sacrosanct in his mind. And he boasts how these Christians are going right for the jugular of what is necessary to take power. You see, the rural country folk, the rednecks, the flyover states of Rome, these aren't Christian, these follow the old gods. And especially the West, the noble West where it all began, the entire countryside, is still honorable and still follows Jupiter. But of course Tellurian boasts that this does not matter. You do not need the country folk. What you need is the cities, the bureaucracy, the institutions of the state. It's bureaucrats and middlemen who have changed over to Christianity. And they work their way into the infrastructure of the state and they begin to hassle the population and bend people slowly towards this new Christianity against their will. And the healthy, normal people outside of the cities, they all believe the sensible, realistic, old gods of the ancient world. But instead, these cities, our own cities that we have built, begin to distort and twist away from our control, and then they begin to attack us. And this is where their name for us comes from, their slander word. Pagan, they call us. Of course, in our noble Latin language, all pagan means is rustic, is from the countryside, is rural. But to them, that's the most disgusting thing ever. Something that they can't be, a true Roman. Someone from the land. No, instead they want you to be lost in the miasma of the city. A foreigner, an immigrant without an identity, and anything but a country person. Anything with connection to reality. No, you must be lost in the abstract world of the city where you can worship this god on a donkey. Yes, fantastic. Great for you. And then when you listen to how they talk about this stuff, you don't see these noble intentions. We know what's actually going on here. There's no noble intentions. Tellurian boasts about taking the athletes and the pagans and the country folk and the aristocrats and the generals, all of those native Romans, those people with heroic aspects, taking them into an arena during the day of judgment and torturing them to extract the suffering out of them that is justified. When the kingdom of God comes, they will be the ones sitting in the Colosseum watching us suffer. Of course, they claim that we have spent the last hundreds of years oppressing them, torturing them. Of course, we've been nothing but too tolerant with them. Yes, we've snapped back the odd time, but only in reaction to their constant pushing. Many of us think that we didn't go hard enough. But of course they made up all their lies that we were feeding them to lions on the regular. Absurd things like this. Of course, if we were feeding them unto the lions, they wouldn't be here, would they? Yes, this new religion, it's so very sophisticated. All you discover inside of it when you dig down to its roots is resentment against the Romans for the crime of winning. But again, I must stress, it does not present itself on the surface like this. No, the thing it talks about all the time is, oh, poor Jesus of Nazareth, the pain he must have went through. The empathy and love that Christianity represents. It's a religion of love, of course. Of course. It's not about all this festering resentment, how they talk about harming us when they gain power. And the perfect symbol of this delusion, of this sleight of hand, of this lie, is how our women fall for it. Our upper class Karens. They love this stuff. Because, you know, Romanness is so toxic and masculine. It doesn't suit feminine sensibilities. Jupiter, Mars, these big muscular supermen. Ugh, upper class women are so closeted from the world. They can't deal with stuff like this. Sterile women with no children and 10 pets. Oh, they just want something to love. And of course, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's the perfect son that they never had. They can adopt him into his heart. Oh, this joyful boy who was unjustly oppressed by the toxically gruggish Romans and their rural Roman gods. Oh, it's so ugly. Whereas this Christianity of pure love, pure escapism from the world, suitable to the woman's emotions. Of course, they all got on board with it quite a lot. And these were some of the worst people because they bent the senators that they were married to. They were the ones who nagged their weak husbands into turning over. Weak husbands walking around with man boobs sticking out of their togas. Of course, they don't command power over their wives. And so they get cuckolded by them in the end. And you know, we could have forgiven our women because they're women, but the biggest culprits, the greatest guilt should be placed upon our aristocrats and our elites. Because they had all the power to stop this. They could have stepped in at any point and put the foot down and been firm, but they never were. In fact, an awful lot of them got bewitched by this delusion. Because at some point, with all the success and power the Roman Empire had given them, all the efforts of our ancestors had put in their hands the ability for them to lie down and have a feather waved over them and slaves feeding them grapes. They developed this neurosis towards Rome. They don't like Rome anymore. Rome is too native. Rome is too much at home. It reminds them of themselves too much. So they want everything foreign. They get obsessed with everything Greek. Oh, I wish to go over to Greek and learn about the sophistication of Greek culture and philosophy. And this new Christian religion, of course, just swept through Greece like a festering disease because of their stupid boy-loving and makes them delusional and not in touch with reality. So all our elites started to flirt with this until it got too far. And some even tried to stop it. We had the Murga movement, make Rome great again with Julian the Great. And of course, he died in suspicious circumstances before he could fulfill his destiny. And that was the end of that project. After that, Christianity swept over and Rome was pulled into its era of darkness. Ah yes, they whined their way into power. These slaves, these bureaucrats. They first just ask for representation, to be acknowledged that they have their rights as a free citizen of Rome, to follow whatever god they wished. Then they demanded more tolerance and acceptance that their religion was official. This is, of course, what Constantine granted them. And then eventually, they started to demand that their god was the only god, for the sake of the piety and security of the state, because you see, Rome started to fall apart at this point. These Christians, of course, show up at the end and they say the reason why Rome is falling apart is not because of them. It's not because of all these slaves coming in and distorting our identity and moving us away from Jupiter. No, it couldn't be that. It's because we're not following this new god. In order for us to save Rome, we need to, you know, not go back to the thing that worked in the past. No, we need to go towards this new thing and this new utopia. And basically, if we just allow them to take control of the state and give them permission to reorganize society, then everything will work out. All the justice in the world will be restored and Rome will rise once again to the heights that it once saw. Yeah, of course, this is what they said. And then they eventually got their wish. They took power. And the first things was not some type of utopia. They did not come in and grant us joy and tolerance and peace. Instead, they began shutting down our temples. They began banishing us to the countryside. They scoured us out of the city. They began to ban our gods, refuse state funding towards our operations and our institutions. They began to bully us out of our own empire. Then we began to understand. Then their retribution began to show. Their mask came off. And this is where you began to see the true vengeance underneath this. They began to attack all our high art. Our books were burned. Our statues were scarred and pulled down. They began to celebrate that they now owned the Roman Empire. They began reorganizing things, outlawing everything at every step, burning down libraries in riots. And then eventually, they decided to ban our religion altogether, the religion that built Rome. In a frenzy of retribution and revolution, they decided that they needed to push aside all of the past and begin on this new project. Only when they cast out Jupiter and our institutions would finally the utopia come. And it was in 391 AD of their stupid made-up calendar that they finalized their revolution of lies. That was the day that they completely banned all traces of the past and made Rome a Christian empire. And it was only 19 years later that Rome was invaded for the first time in almost 1,000 years. No utopia came. No salvation arrived. None of these things happened. None of their promises came true, of course. Instead, we suffered brutal oppression, and we sank into a dark age. Our knowledge was banished. We forgot how to run the aqueducts. We forgot all of the higher operations that we had. Our army could not function anymore. The state was strangling itself. And then a load of Germans from the north came charging in and walked all over us. Germans who were afraid of us and hiding in their mud huts only 200 years before, due to our might and our power, were now crusading around Rome and acting as our kings. It was an implosion of the highest magnitude, the exposure of such unbelievable dishonesty and lies, a revolution of the slaves that took down the entire project. Of course, it was only after this collapse could we say for sure, with evidence, with proof, of how much of a delusion, of a lie, of a spiteful revolution of the weak against the strong this truly was. But at that point, there was nothing to save. It did not matter. Rome was done.